Week on the Cream of Flex, Shelly gets a new car. Upwork and Fiverr showing great traction. Is your job AI proof? Plus, the TikTokifications of employment brands. Tier F with my dad and Shelly starts right now.
Welcome to the Recruitment Flex with Serge and Shelly. I'm Serge.
And I'm Shelly. And we talk all things recruitment starting right now.
Bonjour and welcome to the Recruitment Flex. Shelly, is your car good in the snow? Because we're just getting walloped with snow after days of plus 20 degrees.
I know. Only in Calgary, right? Only in Calgary. So no, I don't have my new car yet.
Oh, you don't have it?
Because... do you know, something I didn't realize was, if you remember during COVID, there was like a worldwide chip shortage.
Yeah.
And so the car I have now was produced pre-COVID. So Acura offered like five different levels of packages. You could have this and that option. They've now taken it down to two. You've got two choices. Oh, and by the way, your color choices, you've got three. It's black, it's white, or it's gray. It's really, really sad.
But I'm curious. So, yeah. Shelly, you bought exactly the same car.
Yes.
Same color?
No.
Different color?
They don't offer that color anymore.
Yeah. That's so boring, though, Shelly. The same car? Don't you want something new? Like new interior, new ways? New.
I'm so incredibly loyal.
Okay. Wow. Because I remember.
Just bought a newer model.
The same car. Yeah. Boring. But it's funny because I remember you talking on this show here. It was 3 years ago that we talked about you buying a new car and you were contemplating all these different brands and then you went with the Acura. So I hope you love your new car, but I still think you're pretty boring. Talking about boring, Shelly, or maybe not boring. I've had a little bit of FOMO in the last couple of weeks with Transform, and there was another event called TalentNet, but Transform definitely got a lot of buzz, a lot of people talking about the event and how well it went. And I was curious because in the show notes here, you put that the employment brand of the year went to Duolingo. Mm-hmm. And then I started researching Duolingo and their TikTok videos are amazing. And we're going to talk about that. But what was your take here?
Mm-hmm. You're right. So their overall company brand is amazing. They've got the little green owl. And like their TikTok videos are hilarious.
Good.
They really are very, very cheeky and almost borderline racy sometimes with that little owl. But when I looked at their employer brand, I was thinking, am I missing something? Because I went and looked at their jobs and I looked at their career pages. I looked at their Indeed, Glassdoor, LinkedIn, looked at them on Instagram and Facebook for employer brand specifically.
Yeah.
And it was pretty ho-hum. Like their corporate brand is really clever, but I don't know. I don't know why they won employer brand of the year.
Well, when we talk about employment branding, it encompasses everything, right? In my opinion, they realize that no one cares about the career sites because it's all the same wording everywhere. Users generally don't go to career sites unless they're very interested in that company, but they're going out where the candidates are and they decided to kill it on TikTok. So when we talk about employment brand, that is their employment brand. I don't think making anything pretty and putting lipstick on their career sites and their Indeed pages and all that stuff is going to do anything like these TikTok videos are doing to their brand. So I think that's why they won. They just dominated the medium.
One medium.
But probably for them, the most important one.
Interesting. Yeah. And we're going to talk a lot. That's kind of the topic of the show almost.
Yeah, there is a lot. But before we do, we've got some news today. So in the news, a recent guest of the show, Adam Goodson, who we interviewed at HR Tech. I just thought he was fantastic. I was so impressed by that interview. And the guy's so nice. Like he was just the nicest guy. I met him after, I think in the food court area, we had a good chat. So when I saw this announcement that he has been promoted from president to CEO of Paradox, which is one of the most important companies in HR tech right now. So I'll give you a little bit more details here. So Adam Goodson will be taking the reins from Aaron Matos, the company founder, who will now be moving into the executive chairman role. What I love about Adam, he started his career as an HR practitioner. I don't know if you remember that. And then his career progressed and he was the CTO at Cielo. And then in 2020, he moved to Paradox as the chief product officer and was promoted 3 years later to president. And now he is the CEO. What a progression. Good on you, Adam. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations. Round of applause.
And in other news, another recent guest to the show, Mark Chaffee.
Very recent.
Well, actually, he hasn't aired yet. Actually, now that you're saying that.
Well, it's coming up, audience.
It's coming up. So Hackajob just announced that they're officially launching in India. And we didn't talk about that on the show. So this must have been something that they just released. So basically, for those that don't know Hackajob, we're going to have him on the show in a couple of weeks. And we will tell you everything. But the fact that they've expanded from originally UK to the US and now going into India is very interesting and honestly quite challenging.
I can't think of any other firm that has done this and so quickly. Like in the matter of 2 or 3 years, Hackajob went into the US, and to see someone that quickly go into India, that's amazing.
Yeah. All the best. Congrats. Mm-hmm. What else is in the news, Shelley?
Looking again to our neighbors in the US, because they usually do give a little bit of prediction and similarity to what's happening in Canada. The Q2 US net employment outlook, which is measured by subtracting the percentage of employers that expect to reduce staff by the percentage planning to hire, it increased 4% year over year to 34%, according to a survey done by 6,000 US firms. So it's looking pretty optimistic about hiring for the rest of this year. I know our most trusted economist said that things were going to be gray and dull. And what did he call it? He said beige. I'm sorry, not gray.
Beige. Yeah.
Yes. He predicted that the market was going to be beige. What's interesting, though, is when we look at what industry sectors or what types of organizations have felt more of an impact, and those that are on the rise, what I found super interesting was companies like Upwork and Fiverr, their revenues are up. When we look at our friends, of course, we know all the numbers that have been announced from Recruit Holdings and from ZipRecruiter, and pretty much all job boards are a little flat or beige.
Oh, I think let's not fudge the numbers.
This is just what saying is things aren't so rosy.
No.
But when you pull back a bigger lens and look at what is doing well, Upwork revenues were up 14% year on year to reach $184 million in the fourth quarter of 2023. Fiverr as well, they reported revenue in the fourth quarter of 2023 stood at $91.5 million compared to $83 million in the fourth quarter of the year before. So what does that tell us, Serge? Get out your magic genie lamp and give it a little rub there.
I don't know how to respond to that. Yes.
I've never seen you speechless.
When we're in 2030, did you just snort?
I just snorted. Sorry.
That's funny. Okay, Shelley, let's get serious here. It's a serious podcast. Serious podcast. If we're in 2030, 2040, 2050, and we've been graced to live that long, and we look back at when did work change, right? When was the biggest disruption? All right, we're going to look at 2020 to 2025 because we are going through such major changes. And looking at Upwork and Fiverr, I think it's showing a sign of change when it comes to workforce composition, of how companies are structuring their workforce, and also how people are looking at work. They're looking at it as a straight gig, not a career in the same way. They're really looking at building out their own portfolios and be solopreneurs for a lot of folks, but flexibility is the key, and gig does that. If you take into account everything else is going on, AI, which I think in itself is bigger than the Industrial Revolution of the 1920s. Was it the 1920s? I guess it would be like the 1890s, right? Like the Industrial Revolution. When did that start, Shelley? Like, you were probably a young girl back then.
Oh, piss off.
But don't you think we are in the midst of a generation defining change when it comes to the way we look at work?
You're absolutely
and how work
right.
is accomplished.
Yeah, we are living it. We are living such a change. It's been amazing. And to think that someday there'll be courses where you have to go back through old podcast recordings to get a read on what was the sentiment back in the day. Like, okay, if you really want to understand the future, you have to look to the past. And what were the topics in those years of such dramatic change?
The other factor you mentioned about employers feeling optimistic about hiring in the Q2, Q3, Q4, I'm definitely not getting that vibe. So I'm glad someone is, because the word on the street is completely different. But obviously, I don't have scale. I don't. This is anecdotal in my conversation. So I guess we'll see. Predictions have been so wrong on hiring and the labor market for the past couple of years. I'm way more cynical about it. So we'll see. Shelley, let's jump into the tip of the week.
You bet. Your tip of the week is brought to you by Plum. Plum knows that when people flourish, businesses thrive. Using science-backed insights, Plum aligns human potential with job needs, allowing you to build high-performing teams from a single platform. Ideal for improving hiring choices, identifying future leaders, and offering personalized career advice, Plum supports the entire employee journey. From hire to retire. Discover more at plum.io. So here's my tip of the week. I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of the resume. And if you Google it, the first thing that comes up is that Leonardo da Vinci, in the year 1482, he was trying to secure a patronage from the future Duke of Milan and had sent him, here's the work I've done. Like basically the first resume. But to be clear though, not much happened after that. So the real rise of the paper resume started in the 1930s to 1950s as part of how you apply for a job. So we're saying how much is going to change and how much has changed. The text-based resume is something we as an industry should advocate to move away from. I know we talk a lot this year about skills-based hiring. The next thing that needs to change is how we represent ourselves on paper. And so Canva has some really great tools to put visual skills into the resume. So it's not this boring text-based document. So the tip this week is for talent acquisition to go on Canva and take a look at some of the tools that are offered there. Do your own resume up first. So you know how complex it is to use this tool. It's not. And zhuzh up your own resume. Because we as recruiters should be the first.
I'm going to disagree with this tip of the week, Shelley. I think we should do the opposite. Simplify the resumes, because in the current context, and maybe we're talking about the future, in the current context right now, those Canva resumes are a nightmare for most ATS, even to this day. And I'm not blaming Canva. Hard to parse them, hard to get the info out. This is my personal opinion. I hate those resumes. I just want the info in a clear, precise way. I actually love the resumes that come from Indeed. Like when you have an Indeed profile and they apply with that resume, because it's so straightforward. It's so clean. Just here are the key points. I can go through it, see if they have the skills and what I'm looking for. I don't like zhuzhing up my resume in any way. So I disagree with your tip of the week, Shelley. Is that okay?
So Serge.
Yeah.
If we believe that parsing is the way to go.
No, I don't agree. Yes. No.
Well, that's what you just said. The parsing technology doesn't fucking work anyways, whether it's on Canva or PDF. Parsing technology sucks. Always has. My challenge is to make something more visually appealing that will actually represent your skills. I personally love the Enhanced CV or Canva, either one of those, as a PDF doc, because when you're looking through hundreds of resumes and they all look like the resumes that come out of Indeed, you've got fatigue by the time you hit resume 30. Give me a break. Versus something that is fresh and clean. It's got graphs or charts or little sliders, something that looks like a little more pleasing to the eye.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing you in the context of it looks better, but also the reality in the current state right now, I don't know if it helps or actually hurts.
You know, and fair enough, because if we're moving to skills-based and CV Wallet and the likes or Test Gorilla or any of these products that you can verify that you have these skills, the resume does become obsolete.
Yeah, if you can measure soft and hard skills in a different way, I completely agree. It is becoming obsolete. And this is arguments that career coaches, recruiters, like what do they want on a resume, what they don't want. Some will say, yes, I absolutely love those resumes. Some will feel exactly like I do. So I guess there's not a wrong answer. It's not a bad tip of the week, Shelley. It's just one that I disagree with. And as you know, I'm wrong a lot. So how about on that note, we jump into the recruiting insights brought to you by our friends at Mitova. Shelley, are you tired of the same old outsourcing woes?
Well, say hello to nearshoring. It's like outsourcing, but closer, and it won't make you pull your hair out.
Picture this. Top-notch IT talent from Latin America.
Many Latin American IT professionals have strong English language skills and even live in the same time zone, so no more midnight conference calls. Hallelujah. Plus, Latin America's growing tech ecosystem, strong educational institutions, and a pool of skilled IT professionals make it the perfect region for recruiting talent.
I have the perfect company that does this. The company's name is Mitova. They have local experts who handle everything from recruiting to HR support.
So why settle for the same old outsourcing blues when you can have the nearshoring party with Mitova?
Look them up at mitova.com and let's get the fiesta started. All right, Shelley, what's first?
Okay. So really fun article here about the top five AI-proof jobs. And so this was a survey done in the U.S., primarily not just white-collar jobs, but I think for the most part, because those are the types of jobs that people fear will go away because of AI. I know we've talked about it a lot, that the mundane tasks of these roles will go away. So on the flip side, what jobs will appear to be least impacted? So in white collar jobs, chief executives, imagine that. Don't think that they're going to be replaced by AI. Civil engineers, electrical engineers, sales managers, and architectural and engineering managers. Those are the top five AI-proof jobs, according to this survey, of white-collar jobs. Now, on the blue-collar, it's much broader. Bus and truck mechanics and diesel mechanics, zero. So it is the most AI-proof job. Dishwashers, fair enough. It's AI-proof, all right. Highway maintenance engineers, laundry and dry cleaning workers, and solderers and brazers. I don't know what a brazer is. Do you know what a brazer?
No.
Soldering, brazing.
Yeah, it's attaching metal together. I'm not sure how, but that's what you're doing here.
Okay, so AI is not going to replace you.
I'm just very curious looking at it that engineers dominate this and being very naive.
No, it's AI proof.
But exactly. Sorry. That's what I meant. That these jobs are AI proof, that AI is not going to impact them. And I'm like, I think they're a little bit delusional, right? I'm very naive when it comes to this. But if you think about what an engineer does, I can't see why AI could not do that, because it should be way smarter, because it's got data that it's looking through to engineer whatever bridge or whatever they're engineering. Like, am I wrong? I'm thinking that would be highly susceptible.
No, I'm looking at it from a civil engineer, for example. They are engineering things that don't yet exist. And so everything changes. You can use AI to help you in your job, but it's never going to replace what a civil engineer needs to do, because AI is trained on large language models or big data models.
I still doubt it. I agree with the sales manager. The engineering, I guess, I get your point, right? The chief executive, I think we will see some AI chief executives. I 100% think we will see it.
Won't that be a hoot? Oh my God.
I think they'll be better in a lot of ways. If you remove like the leadership elements, but of just making pure decisions, I don't know. I think I might trust AI to make those decisions, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Let's jump into the next recruiting insight. And this one, I'm very curious, Shelly, of how you watch content. Are you a reader? Do you watch videos? Do you read Twitter or Threads? Like, how do you get your content now? What is the main driver? Is the TV still the biggest source of your entertainment?
It is, but it's interesting. It's been a real change this year, actually, because previously it would be all like your subscription channels.
Yeah.
As far as where I get my content, yeah, it would be watching video, even if I'm watching, scrolling through Instagram or something.
Mm.
It's video.
Yeah, when we talk about the massive shift in what we do, when we talk about the world of work, but also entertainment is changing dramatically as well. Because right now, video dominates our digital consumption and comprises over 80% of global internet traffic. So a third of Americans under 30 now turn to TikTok as their regular news source. That's a fourfold increase from 2020. And the reason I was asking you, Shelly, I've seen a dramatic shift in how I engage with content. I even watch any TV, like a regular TV show. I still have cable or whatever it is. I still do. I should just be canceling it, but it's the same price almost with internet. So I've just kept it. But I literally never watch it. And I don't watch a lot of subscription content like Disney Plus or Netflix for myself. My kids, absolutely Disney Plus and Netflix is probably like all they consume because they don't have access to a phone or a tablet. But it's interesting that the shift is happening so quickly. And what is the impact of that when it comes to us as recruitment marketers, because we got to fit our messaging to the audience. And when we're talking about zhuzhing up our resumes, how do we zhuzh up our employment brand and actually be where the job seekers are? And this is where Duolingo has done an amazing job, right? Like, they figured this is the persona of the candidates we want to attract, and this is the channel that they're on. We talk about the TikTokification of videos. People are wanting short form videos. And I feel the same way, Shelly. I have a hard time watching a 15 minute video of anything, but I can watch a 2 minute TikTok video over and over again. Are you the same way?
Absolutely. Because the videos I watch are recipes.
Okay.
Seriously, like I was in my soup cooking era.
Yeah.
And I was constantly watching videos, and they're 2 minute videos, and I know exactly how to make it. It's awesome. I love it.
There's also been a shift during the pandemic that we saw a lot of people creating videos of recipe cooking. People tried to figure out what they liked and what would be good on video. But we're really seeing that shift of short form video going to the business use. We are using it for news. I don't know if you've been following on TikTok all the news on Kate Middleton and the royal family. It's fascinating, but I would never follow it, but it's been in my algorithm. It's been great. But we follow it for our news, our communication, how we brand, how we market our business. Everything now is in short form video. And in recruitment marketing, we're seeing companies like Duolingo do a really good job, but we're starting to see the rise of that. This is going to be the norm, and companies that are helping, and like JobPixel is the first one that I think of, is like, how do you help companies create authentic videos that are real? But what I'm nervous here, Shelly, is everyone's going in the video format and the majority are really bad. I don't know if you're seeing the same, and I'm looking at different employment brand videos that they're doing. Some are attempting to do a good job. Some are not even attempting. They're just putting out what they did 15 years ago. Instead of being in a 20-minute video, it's in a 2-minute video. So I guess we will see how big it's going to impact employment branding. But if the numbers and the trend is going, it's like, we better get on this and use TikTok and Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts as a critical part of our employment brand strategy. What's your take here, Shelly?
So I watched a few, because in this article, they call Duolingo the queen of TikTok.
The queen.
And, you know, honestly, they've got their brand so refined. It is slapstick comedy. It's funny. It's a little edgy, right? That's what they've decided to do versus some of the other. Sure, it's authentic, but it was literally watching this guy get up in the morning, put coffee on, put his work boots on, drive to the work site. And what the fuck? I don't want to watch this. I couldn't slide to the next one fast enough. Like, yes, it's an authentic day in the life.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch you put your boots on. Seriously, there's got to be at least some sort of, I guess what I would call creative direction.
Yeah.
I get how authentic it is that, you know, you have to get up and the sun's not up and you got to make your lunch and you've got to go to the work site. And oh, please, you've got to find some middle ground in between that. And I'm not saying everyone has like the creative brains, whoever the marketing firm is for Duolingo, well done. Because they've just really taken it to entertainment, which is what video should be, right? Even
exactly.
If it's 45 seconds, it should be somewhat entertaining or funny, lighthearted. Not everything has to be doom and gloom. I get that video has the psychological appeal. It is somewhat addicting. Once you start, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
I get like how all that works on our brains. But when it comes to employer brand, I think it could be a weapon, or you could be the laughing stock, right? All I would say is that you really need to have some sort of creative direction.
I 100% agree with that. And I think the size and the scope of the organization will help define that. As the bigger the organization, the more creative direction that you need to put in place. If you're a smaller organization, if you can have someone that brings something authentic, fun, like it's got to be entertaining to watch, because our brains are wired like that now. Like it has to have an impact and keep us drawn, because our attention span is almost nothing. So yeah, 100% agree. But I think you don't need to spend a lot of money if you're a startup or still in the growing phase. You just need to be very creative. Like it doesn't need to be overproduced.
Yes. You mentioned one thing there, Serge, and that ties in really well to, there's something called the Edelman Trust Barometer Global Report. And you know me in reports.
Yeah,
so I'm rifling through it. It's, I don't know, 65 pages long, I swear. But what ties back to this is something you just mentioned, and that is finding someone who's got that authentic voice, have a plan, what your video is going to have in terms of content, message, or an influencer. And that influencer doesn't necessarily need to be someone you hired. It could be someone within the organization who's just got great ideas.
Yeah.
Because as I'm flipping through the Edelman Trust Barometer Global Report, this is around the world, they ask the question, when it comes to someone telling me the truth about new innovations and technologies, the top two trusted sources, both of them at 74%, scientist or someone like me. Therein lies the whole phenomenon around the fact that people will trust an authentic person who looks just like me versus the company, government, the CEO, even a journalist. Journalists are at 47% of trust as a source for somebody who's going to tell me the truth versus an influencer. I will tell you if this soup is delicious because I'm watching soup videos. And it really was like, I've got this one chef. I think this just, she's just in her kitchen.
Yeah.
And when she says something is delicious, oh my God, everything that I've made that. So I trust her. I go to her before I'd buy a cookbook. I'll never buy a cookbook again.
I think we're wired to trust people that are like us, right? But like the journalists being at the same level as government leaders when it comes to trust facts.
Politicians.
It's pretty scary. And it's pretty scary putting that in context as well, that we will trust an influencer on TikTok over a journalist is a sad state of affairs of what we're following and what we believe in. And there's no political statement there. I think it's everyone's fault, including the journalists, that they're at that level right now. But was there anything else in this report that really stuck at you?
It was huge because it's a huge survey. It is a global survey. But this one I thought fit really nicely with the whole notion of video and influencers. When companies are looking to build trust in their brand, having just a normal everyday person, not a spokesmodel.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree. So Shelley, that is it for this week. Anything exciting?
You didn't ask me what color of car I did end up getting.
Oh, yeah. What color did you get?
Okay. So the reason I don't have my car yet is because the only other color they offer, we had to order it because they didn't have one on the lot. And it's red.
You're getting red?
Yes.
Oh, red, yeah. Car. Yuck.
Why do you look like that?
Yuck. Red? Who gets a red car? Like, unless what it's color a is Ford my fingernail? Mustang.
Always. Always.
Sorry?
My fingernails are always what color?
Red. Okay. Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to denigrate your choice. Well, no, it was either
that or toilet bowl white, gray blends into the pavement, or black.
Like, all of them, my favorite car colors. Like all of them.
We had this conversation in 2021. We absolutely did.
We did. And you said you wanted a red car. Shelley.
No, I've got a navy blue one right now.
Okay. Can you get that one back? It's too late. Well, at least I'll know while you're parked, right?
I know.
You'll have plenty of police protection around you because they always follow the red cars. Is your insurance going up because of the red car? There is science that shows that red cars cause more accidents.
I heard that. But I think it's only sports cars. This is no sports car.
And I don't see you speeding anywhere. I see you as a very defensive driver. All right, Shelley. Well, I can't wait to see your red car. And I'm looking for my next car. If I went with the advice of my daughters, it'd be pink. So maybe we can have a red and pink car. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Au revoir.
Shelley, let's face it, texting candidates is the easiest way to hire quicker today. But your cell phone doesn't connect to your ATS. You're sharing your personal number with strangers. That's pretty scary, right, Shelley? And it's not even legally compliant.
This is where our friends at RecTex come in. They've created simple yet powerful text recruiting software that works with your ATS. Plus, it's designed by recruiters for recruiters, so you know it works. To learn more and book a demo, visit www.rectxt.com, mention the Recruitment Flex, and get 10% off annual plans.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.